Morning, everyone. It just feels a lot warmer already. See, we have quite a few new faces. So if you're new here, my name is Jacques. Together with Nita, we lead the eldership here at church. And this morning, you'll see there's four chairs here. It's not me, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, only that it represents, but we're actually going to ask a few people to join me up at the front shortly. But for those maybe that are new or that has been visiting for a while, maybe you would know, but we're in a transition phase where Debia and Runel, who has been leading the eldership in the church up till now, is in Luxembourg, and they're busy positioning for a church plant in the future. They're coming back, still part of the eldership. But we thought it would be great to share a bit in terms of what has God been doing in our lives. And for many of us, God has been doing things in our hearts in this time of transitioning. But there's also been a few that has been formally stepping into certain positions, and we thought it would be great just to share a bit more of what God has been doing in this time in our hearts and in our lives, and just what is our hope for Cape Town in that. So maybe if I can ask Pieter Bouwer if you can join me at the front. Pieter is a proposed elder, soon to be ordained, and Chris, who's our ministry director for church planting and missions and small groups. And then last but not least, Aubrey Miller, who is our ministry director for kids church and school ministry. So we can just give him a clap. So we're going to try not just to do it as a panel, but also to share a bit through this to you guys as well. And maybe if I can start with Aubrey, if you can just give a bit of an intro, maybe for those who don't know you or, yeah.
So you guys have heard my name. It's Aubrey. Hello, Reino. Good to see you. I'm married to a beautiful wife called Rista. We've just had she's right outside. We've just had a little baby boy that the Lord has graced us with. So we are thoroughly enjoying this season where God is calling us into different things. And I think you'll hear more about what it is that I do later on.
Like all of us. Hi, everyone. I'm Chris. My lovely wife is there, Raquel, and the Lord has taken us on a few different paths. We met back in Stellenbosch, and then went on a couple paths, spent some time in Joburg, and we moved to Cape Town just over a year ago. So it's been a new season for us as well, but a massive blessing to be here.
Hello, everyone. My name is Pieter Bouwer. I'm married to Jade. We have two beautiful, very busy daughters, Beth and Audrey. We've been here in Cape Town for just over 3 years now. And we felt the Lord lead us to put down our roots and our foundations here and to serve in church here. And it's definitely been incredible so far. We've grown a lot. We've had some tough times. But the one thing that has definitely been constant is just the experience of community in this congregation. So I'm excited for what the Lord is doing, and I'm excited to share as well this morning. Thank you.
You can keep the mic there, Pieter. But maybe just on that, we were a bit away for a while. We have family in Lowveld, and we went to visit there. And for us as a congregation, we're generally quite a young congregation, and people tend to, the general thing is after a while, people tend to move to the suburbs and all of that. So if you've been here for a while, you would have realized we're quite big on the theme of Shema, hearing God. It's no problem to go where God has called you, but we do feel that whatever we do, wherever you stay or wherever you go, that it's God-led. And I was just really encouraged being away. Sometimes one might think, oh, we're a young congregation. We wish there would be more people that can stay in the city and stay a year longer. And being in the Lowveld, where my sister and her husband also serve there in ministry, I realized that's a place where it's not expensive as the city might be in terms of moving out. But what was really encouraging thinking about where we are is just us as a congregation. There's something really special that God is doing in terms of having a heart and a desire to seek Him, where it's not always the case where you might have people that's in a vicinity, part of church, but their hearts aren't in it. So that's just a small encouragement, as Peter was now sharing about community, that I'm quite encouraged about just coming back. And yeah, it's really a blessing this morning, and I want you to receive that blessing as well, as being in a community of fellow believers that really search and look after God's heart. It's not a given that we will always be in communities and settings where those around us, church-going people, desire to see God in that way. So I want you to be aware of that and to also receive that in your time in Cape Town, whether it's 1 year or 5 or 10 or 20 years, to receive that, because it is a gift and it's not always a given. Just a side note. But one question I want to ask this morning, that I'm going to ask to all three, is just the principles of the Lord has been showing us in this time of change, transitioning. So maybe Peter, if you can start to that, and just for all of us as we share, to think of that, what has the Lord been showing you in your own life, and maybe there's some things that you, that God reveals to you through this. So yeah, Peter.
Yeah, I think firstly I want to say I was just struck this morning by how faithful God is, and just how He speaks to all of us. And just preparing these questions, I see I'm the only one with notes. I feel like such a kippie. Maybe it gives away my age. But in any case, I enjoy
guess
notes.
Guess who's the teacher?
But I was just so overwhelmed this morning by how the Lord speaks to us, and just preparing for the first thing the Lord told me when I prepared for this is that the Lord builds His church. And how incredible is it that it was the first thing that the Lord spoke to us this morning. So that's just what I want to start with. And this, in this time of transition, when we all got together as leaders with Thrunel and Debia, one of the things that came out, one of the core themes, was that the Lord is building His church. Ultimately, we are just workers. We are fellow workers with Jesus, but He builds His church. I think that's incredibly important to remember. The Psalm 127 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." Another word that came out also in the worship, which is incredible, is that Jesus is the rock. He's the foundation, and He's also the chief cornerstone. So I think that's a theme that the Lord is definitely speaking to us about this morning, is that the Lord builds His church. Jesus is the rock. He's the foundation, and He's also the chief cornerstone of this building.
Amen. Yeah. Chris.
Okay. Thanks, Chuck. I think, so I stepped into the role in early March, and there was something that struck me quite quickly when I did that, is I had this natural inclination to just start focusing on operational execution and trying to be as excellent as I could be in the role as faithful as I could be. And I think looking back and unpacking a lot of the personality traits and Debbie bringing in all his models there to help you understand yourself better has showed me that my personality loves setting goals and targets and then executing on them. So for me and Raquel, it's an interesting one at home, because we'd come back from a long day and then I'd have an idea of all the things I want to do in the house and get things ready, and I want to tick them off. And her personality is the complete opposite. She just wants to have a good time, have a lacquer chat, and enjoy each other's company. And so that has also shown me that I have this inclination. And where I saw it in the context of church was the process of on a quarterly basis setting sort of rocks or these targets that we wanted to achieve in that quarter. And the moment we started doing that, I got really excited about this process. And I was like, okay, how am I going to get this done? And what I felt the Lord come and show me quite quickly in that process is that if my motivation is simply to set a target and then go achieve it, that I'm missing his heart in it. And I felt him say to me that my motivation is shallow if it's simply focused on operational execution and excellence. And I felt the Lord come and show me the importance of abiding in him and being rooted in him and finding that life from him. And I think that led me to sort of realize two things, that my action should be an overflow from. The first is that I know that I'm loved as the Father's son in his house, and that I operate from that place of identity. And the second is that from understanding that depth of his love and grace towards me, that my actions would be an outflow of that to the people around me, that would be the motivation of my heart, is to see how the Lord loves the people around me and to do my very best to be excellent in expressing that love to the people that I'm engaging with and that together that we are serving. And I think the one line in worship this morning was beautiful, where it said, "Show me who you are, fill me with your heart, and lead me in your love to those around me." And I think that really captures what the Lord has been saying to me, is that there's a far greater depth to what motivates you when you are doing what you're doing, and that motivation would really be the love of Christ.
Amen. Thanks, Chris. Aubrey.
Yeah, we didn't collude. Chris mentioned one of the things that has been on my heart as well, and Peter mentioned the other. But before I get into the principles that I believe that God is showing us in this time, I think the overriding principle is that God is faithful and constant. The God of yesterday is the God of today and will be the God of tomorrow. His character is unwavering, and his love towards us is unwavering. I think there's many principles in general that the Lord teaches us, like loving our neighbors as ourselves and being quick to listen and slow to speak. But specifically in this season, I categorized it into three parts, each representing three principles. So the one being God, which is the fact that he himself is building his church. He is inviting us to partner with him in building his church, not only here in Cape Town, but globally. Actually, not only in Shofar, but across many churches globally. He is building it, and he's shifting people around and moving people around. And we get to see it firsthand, where he's calling us into Burundi, and he's calling us into Luxembourg, And I know that we also go on regular missions to Sri Lanka. We go on regular missions to India. So he's moving and he's doing things in that space. I'll jump to the last one, which Chris mentioned, which is in a personal capacity. I feel like Psalm 139 says to us that the Lord intricately and uniquely wove us in our mother's wombs. He even knows the amount of hairs on our heads, and he knows us intimately, and he desires to have a intimate relationship with us, and that through Jesus he made a way that we can directly access him. We shouldn't be having secondhand relationships with God. We shouldn't be having a relationship with him through a small group leader or through any particular pastor. But we ourselves should be spending time with the Lord and engaging him. One thing that's very near to my heart, and it's the last category, is church. So Hebrews 10:25. Let me not misquote. Hebrews 10:25 tells us that we shouldn't neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, that all the more, as you see the day of the Lord drawing near. And I believe that's a key principle that's being highlighted to us in this time, is that we shouldn't neglect to meet together. In verse 24, just before this, it actually says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." And this actually highlights to us that church is our lifeline to encouragement. It's not only for us to pitch up and be encouraged, but we are actually supposed to be there to encourage one another. Else we actually run the risk of running dry. And as it so happens, verse 26 just after says to us, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, then no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." So it's essential in this time for us to actually meet together, small groups, Sunday services and homie Sundays, to actually pitch up and be there, that we not only be encouraged, but that we can be encouragement to others in Christ.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks, Aubrey. That's such a powerful statement and truth to hold on to and encourage. I think for me, to an extent, also largely, there's a lot of points that has been mentioned, but just reflecting on this, thinking of that God is at work, we mentioned it as well, but we're not busy here with our own plans or own things that we're doing, choosing our own adventures type of thing. God is busy doing something, and it's for us to join into what he is already busy doing, which takes a lot of pressure off sometimes of trying to follow God, but realizing that it's not in our ability to follow him, but that he is leading, that we trust in him being the faithful leader and shepherd. And just the fact that he is at work, and because God is at work, we can hear what he's doing. Jesus said he only does what he sees the Father is doing, and we can join into that. The kingdom is an ever-expanding kingdom, ever-advancing kingdom, and whether we're part of it or not, the kingdom is advancing, and there's an invitation for us to join into that. So whether the change is, or especially when it's God-ordained, I guess going into the second point for me is where God guides, he provides, and God-ordained change means, again, following from the first point, that we can follow his voice in ways leading us. And then the third one for me is just that in change, he stays the same. Aubrey mentioned it as well, but Hebrews 13 verse 8, that says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I think for many of us, we're in a life phase where there is a lot of change. Babies come, your sleep drops away. Rista has written an M on that. Not really, but she can, I guess. But there's a lot of change in for many of us in this life phases that you're transitioning from, whether it was uni to a young working person to climbing the whatever corporate ladder or workplace, getting more responsibilities, finding a spouse, maybe finding a house. There's a lot of change happening, but in the amongst all of that, God stays the same. And as we follow Him, He is faithful to lead us. Yeah. I think with the next question, we spoke about the principles of change, but I would also like to hear just personally, what has God been doing in this time, in this season, in your hearts? And maybe Chris, if I can ask you to kick us off with that one.
I think the best way to answer this question is to say that the Lord has come to show me what it looks like to live life in His presence. And there are a few testimonies that I can share, but I will I'll share one specific one from a couple months back. It was on a cycling trip that I did with a couple friends out in the Swartland, and we rode out from Stellenbosch the one day. I was quite tired after that day, and then we got onto the second day, and the plan was to ride up toward Porterville, and just past Porterville is this pass called Dusklip Pass, and it effectively takes you from the plains of the Swartland up over the Cederberg and into that mountain range. And by the time I hit the bottom of the climb, I was already in a lot of pain. My fitness was not at the level that my co-cyclist's fitness was at. And so they started riding ahead, and I quickly realized I wasn't going to be able to keep up with them. So I decided, okay, I'm going to just put some worship music on, and I'm going to take this climb step by step. And yeah, as I was going up, it was a really warm day. I was really uncomfortable, and there were a lot of times where I was in quite a bit of pain. But I just felt through the process like the Lord was almost pulling back layers, almost like of an onion, but layers of like comfort and a desire for comfort, and layers of pride and ego. Fact that I was at the back, I mean, I think the Lord was teaching me something through that. And about three quarters of the way up, I just felt completely overwhelmed by the Lord's presence. And I just started, as I was riding, I just started sobbing. And I was looking out over the from sort of the pass that looks out the whole way over this side towards Table Mountain and the sea. And all I could do in response was just thank the Lord for His goodness. And in that moment, I could really taste and see the Lord's goodness in my life. And it probably continued then for half an hour of just crying. Like, I think since I've joined the ministry team, I've cried more than I ever have in my life. And for me, that's been so precious to be in a place like that with the Lord. And Gebran shared a really cool snippet from a sermon that John Piper gave this week on the intercession group that he shared it. Because it's difficult to describe a moment like that, but I think that sermon captured really well that the Lord staggered me with His majesty and His presence, to the point where you don't know how to respond any other way than to worship Him, and I really get a sense that the Lord is saying that to me, that like, He's inviting me into that place to be staggered by His majesty and His presence. Just to, I think a lot in the journey and the previous sermons around the fear of the Lord and obedience is, for me, so much of that naturally comes when I can clearly see, as far as my mind can comprehend, who the Lord is, and where the word says that he measures the universe in the span of his hand, that would really sink in. I think when that happens, like, you are only left with one response. And I think that's what the Lord has been showing me.
That's so good, just to ponder on, and just in your own life as well. I mean, many times we can be in circumstances that feel overwhelming, but if we realize we serve the God of creation, and I love that term, staggered, it just being overwhelmed with God's presence and his majesty. And our biggie is when we take our eyes off the waves and put our eyes on the one who created the waves. Don't look how big our problems are, but look how big God is, and just dwelling in his presence. That's, yeah, so powerful. And, yeah, thanks, Chris. Peter Bauer. In English, it's Peter Bauer.
Yep. Depends on who you ask. yeah, I promise we didn't collude. I'm just blown away just by how the Lord speaks to all of us. Sometimes we think we're very special, but we are very special to the Lord, but he speaks to all of us. I'm just reminded one thing that the Lord has been speaking to me about specifically, about returning to our first love. We briefly mentioned it this morning in intercession as well, touched on it. I feel the Holy Spirit reminding me of that. I've been walking with the Lord for many years. I recommitted to Christ when I was... I'm going to cry now. Sorry. I was really touched by Chris's testimony now as well. The Lord actually reminded me this morning of a few times where I was just driving my car, of all places. The Lord meets me in my car. And where I just all of a sudden just burst out into tears as well. Where just I encountered his presence so powerfully. And those experiences are incomprehensible. Our minds cannot understand it. It's spiritually discerned. Our spirits understand it. Our spirits connect with God. And those deep, deep places of encounters, I believe the Lord wants to multiply that and increase that in our lives, because that's where we change. And lately the Lord has been reminding me of those times, almost in a nostalgic way, of when I first came to Christ. And I remember it. It was incredible. It was amazing. I had just this whole new world that opened up to me. Before that, I almost felt like I was living under a rock. I was incredibly anxious. I couldn't sleep at night. I had knowledge of God and of Christ, and I knew, and maybe someone needs to hear this morning, but I knew that if I was going to die now, I was going to go straight to hell. That was my fear every night going to sleep, and I would go to bed, sometimes lying awake for hours, being afraid to go to sleep, because then, I mean, all bets are off. Maybe I die in my sleep and then I wake up in hell. I had no identity. I couldn't even look at people in the eyes. I remember just meeting new people was just a struggle for me, just to look at them in the eyes. I just couldn't look up. It was too much for me. And that was one of the first things that the Lord did on that fateful day, that I responded to an altar call. Randomly, a friend of mine invited me to Bible school. One of the last Bible school normally had three free sessions in the beginning. And the Lord invited me. Yes, my friend invited me to that session. We studied together, and earlier years, we did all sorts of bad things together. He got saved. I won't tell the whole story now. And I just felt led to do that. And that Tuesday evening, I went. And the first thing that happened that evening is the Lord led one of the pastors at Shofar there at that time, see us, to do an altar call. And that was my time to respond. So, yeah, I think that's part of the theme this morning, is that the Lord is calling us to encounter Him. And there's a lot of things that we can learn and a lot of things that we can delve into and study, which is amazing, but we have to encounter Jesus. We have to encounter Him, and He will change us in His presence. That's not at all what I planned to say, but that's what I said.
Amen. He did share his answers beforehand, and it wasn't what he typed out, but it's amazing just in that. And also just reminded of that verse in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, that says, when one comes into the presence of the Lord, the veil is removed, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we can do a lot of things, and it's discipline is so important in Christianity as in the rest of life, but encounter with a living God, that's what changes us. So also want to encourage you through, you could feel the life-giving anointing just from those stories shared already, and just for us, encouragement to in the season to press in, just to go and sit at God's feet. We don't always have to come and bring a lot of prayers or come and bring a lot of things, but just to go and sit with Him and just be. It's beautiful. Aubrey?
I think I might change my answer as well. I think just taking two steps back of what I originally thought the Lord was doing in this season, I actually see that He was also reminding me of how He has met us as a family and how He's met me and how He's spoken to us in many of the ways that, many of the things that we find ourselves doing right now. So before the doing, there was an encounter with God and He said something and then we went on to doing. I'm reminded of when we bought a home in the city. One is difficult to find a home. They go like this. They are expensive. And you're not sure if you should get into millions of rands of debt just for doing it. But we found a place, a long story short. We recognized that it was in line with what we asked God if we could have. One of the things was fireplace. This home had four. Only one is working, but it has four. So we're like, okay, we got to give the house a second look. And then it was just favor upon favor upon favor. And then knowing that we have to move quickly, we got everything ready. We got the, what's it called, OTP, one-time purchase. We filled it in. And then we're like, I told my wife, we have to wait. We have to wait because the Lord needs to give us something that really confirms that we should do this. Because at the time I was reading Joshua, and if you guys know Joshua, like the Lord just gives His people land. And I'm like, yeah, but no, we can't buy a house on this. And then on the 28th of August, so the 28th of the 8th month, Rista opens up in the morning on Deuteronomy 28 verse 8. It's a scripture that's up on our house now that says the Lord wants to give you the land and bless you in it. And we took that as a confirming word. We bought the house, and after we've bought the house, we actually found out that I think it was in 2001 or in 2003, I think 2001, on the 28th of August, the house was last sold. And we were just in amazement of what God is doing. Like, that doesn't happen by chance. And then the season that we find ourselves in now, being parents, me being a husband to my wife, before Simeon was here, we were at men's camp, and we had a time, thank you, Ben, for facilitating that time of prophecy about a year ago. I think it was France that said, the time is right. for the kids to come. I came back home. I told my wife, and she's like, "Are you sure? Let's just ask the Lord." And then a friend that never phones me, he's not in this church, he's a very old friend. We've known each other for, I think, 25 years now. He calls me and he says he had a dream. And we brought our child to him and his parents' home in Langebaan. And I said this to my wife, and she's like, "Okay." Like, that also just doesn't happen by chance. So that's a season that we find ourselves in now, and probably will for a very long time. It's for me to be a loving and faithful father to my son, and a devoted husband to my wife. I tend to overshare, so I'll keep it short. I'm currently, the Lord is just equipping me in many ways, and I'm just in amazement of the depth of who God is, and His Word. His Word is incredibly rich. Just try and engage like the interlinear, like the Hebrew and the Greek Bible as well, like doing it side by side. We've had that session here a while ago on how to read the Bible. And then you realize like that one sentence is so, so, so much more. Many people have spoken it over my life. I'm a pastoral evangelist, not evangelistic pastor, which means I'm more of an evangelist than I am a pastor, but I have some pastoral sides, and the Lord is really raising me up to carry the heart of the shepherd, as well as the urgency of the gospel. And in and amongst all of this, He's just showing more of what He made me to be. I had a friend, a brother in Christ, Viwe, speak to me the other day, and he's like, "Aubrey, you know, you're very structured, but not in the way people want you to be." And I just resonated with that so much, because everything always makes sense in my mind. And there's actually a lot of structure and method to the way that I would approach many challenges. But I think many people that would engage things with me or would work with me would often say, like, "I don't know, like, I'm not really following what's going on." And then I have to find myself really explaining myself. And that was also something that the Lord said to me before I walked into this role on staff of being youth or kids church ministry director, is that He said to me, it was a moment driving as well in the car, looking at the ocean. It was a bit stormy, and I just saw the waves crashing against the promenade. And I just felt the Lord in that moment say, like, "I made you to be able to thrive in and amongst the chaos, because there's actually balance. Like the water crashing and everything is actually in perfect equilibrium. And that if I would follow Him, I would find that balance." And that was the word that I took as I took on the role of being 4 days in corporate and having to absorb those forces coming at me, and then being in 1 day a week in ministry, having to absorb the demands that come from that side and having to find a balance between everything. And if I would stray away from the Lord, I would find myself very tired. But as I would be with Him, I would find a way to walk. I think that's enough for now.
Amen. It's a powerful. Just to hear that, I think a similar theme for me in our own transition and current phase, a scripture that I felt about this is Psalm 37, verse 3, that says, Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. And that's what I feel for us as a season to a large extent, is just to trust in the Lord and to feed on His faithfulness, some translations say. And I've been experiencing that we've been, almost want to say, used to change to a large degree for the last few years in staying in Cape Town and having to reassess trajectory and where we feel God is leading us. But just in following God in this season, I think the word that I shared a while ago in terms of implicit obedience has been something that God has been highlighting for me. I also like things to make sense in my mind, like Aubrey. So I can think about things, and sometimes I realized in this season that I would hear God speak, and I love spending time in God's presence, but I would almost take it as good ideas and think, wow, imagine this or imagine that, and I would go down a tangent and dream. But I realized I sometimes lack executing or obeying God in it. That when God says something, I think, wow, that's a great idea. Imagine that happens. And then I leave it and I go on another tangent or something. And in this time, God has just shown me that in a way to simplify things, is just do what he tells me. Don't try and go beyond what he told me and think, okay, if I do that, then what's the next step? Just do what he tells me. And that has been really life-giving, just in simplifying things and making decisions, whether it's business, church, family, home things. I mean, we have had changes on, for me, work-wise, obviously, church. We lived with Debbie and them in our home, so home. So on different fronts. And the one thing that is constant through all of that is God, and that he leads us. And just obeying. It's one thing to hear his voice, but then to actually act on it and on small things. So that's been really life-giving for me, and to continue leaning into that. And with that is just the heart for Cape Town. I'm really excited. Me and Debbie used to do what we called good news that we ran, and as we jogged together, we shared good news. And the other day, Debbie was in Luxembourg, so I told God, okay, maybe me and him can do a bit of good news sharing. And I almost want to challenge you to try that, to sit with God and share the good news in your life. And I realized how God was pinpointing things that I thought, I'm just sharing it, as a cognitive recognition that it actually happened. But then God almost told me, okay, let's dwell on that point a bit. And that specifically was on, we had a staff breakaway in Franschhoek, and God just had me dwell on that point of amazing people we have in our congregation, on staff. And yeah, from there, he just started sharing with me just a big heart for Cape Town. And the exciting part for me is, God is not just setting up church for us so that we can have a good time and have entertainment on a Sunday or tick a few boxes. Part of our purpose is being part of a body of Christ. And God has a heart for the nations and for Cape Town, and to reach the wider Cape Town that we can sometimes see as a very dark place. And I feel there's a calling on us as a congregation, on us as individuals to play a part in that. It's not just us sitting here or even the others that are leading ministries at this stage, but for all of us. So I'm really excited in that. And yeah, that's something that I feel like God is stirring for more of, that sometimes a bit bigger than I can imagine or fathom. So yeah. And that, I guess, leads us into our next question as well. I've been naughty with that one. But just our hope for Cape Town. And we've shared a bit in terms of what has God been doing. But maybe, Aubrey, if we can start with you this round.
Yeah, sure. Many things that I hope for Cape Town, ultimately. I think one thing that has been very near to my heart is that, and the overarching principle is that the Lord's kingdom would come, and that as we would see his kingdom come, we would see the homeless and the destitute off the streets being restored and being healed. Criminals to meet the ends of justice. But not only that, that they would actually be transformed through the gospel. I want to see small groups adding to their number every week. There's a song, The Great Awakening. Leland sings it. I'm not sure who's the original author, but it says, as one awakens, he awakens another, and then he awakens his next door brother. And that has just resonated with me, and that I really hope like that would be the rhythm that's happening in the city. I hope that churches would be filled, that they would not only be full, but that they would be spirit-filled and overflowing, and that the people would be overflowing, and that they would be full physically and spiritually in town. I hope that places that were once dark, if you've ever been in Long Street in the evenings, that nightclubs and things would be replaced by places of nourishment and community. That spontaneous moments of worship would break out in town, that there would be reports of miracles weekly, that people would be like, oh, but something's happening there, that people would be curious and that God would be the talk of the town. That's what I hope Cape Town would turn into, and that the world would see Cape Town as a beacon of light.
I'm really excited about what the Lord is doing in Cape Town, and I think my heart for the city, I think, has come from a process of almost seeing what the Lord is doing here already, and wanting to see that done in even greater measure. And the best way to articulate it is, my hope would be that Cape Town would be a place where redemptive agents are birthed, that it would be a place where the Lord comes and drops a vision of redemption in each one of our lives and in each person's life in the city. And it would be a place that they are then equipped in order to execute and live out that vision, both here in the city, but then in all ends of the earth. And I think the heart and the vision there is that we would see Cape Town as a place where you have leaders of prophetic and redemptive families being raised up, that the Lord starts dropping those visions and that heart in people's hearts, as I think he has already, that you would see business builders have this this realization that business can be done in a very different way to what the world suggests it can be done, that we would see scientists and teachers and civil servants and politicians receiving these visions from the Lord and being raised up through the church community to live out what the Lord has called them to live out in those spaces. And that we would see that happen here in Cape Town, but then take that equipping and that vision to the ends of the earth. And for me, it's been so exciting because I think our community gives you a glimpse of what that looks like, of seeing the families here, of seeing the church planters here, of seeing the business builders and the scientists and the teachers and the parents here. And I, as we came in, like Raquel and I saw that really quickly. And I think the Lord had started stirring something in our hearts in a similar way, and we felt like the Lord was saying, you just need to be there and just do what the people there are doing. And that with it, we would hear, like, I have this heart of, like, in the coffee shops, in the boardrooms, among the surfers behind the back line, in the art studios and galleries, wherever it may be, that you would hear people testifying of the visions the Lord has given them, and you would hear that equipping and that discipleship happening. That's what we would be hearing when we walk around. And that would really be the testimony. And I think, as Jacques has said many times, in one way, how Cape Town is a breadbasket to the world. That's really my hope for the city.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think for me specifically, the one thing that the Lord has laid on my heart, it's something that I noticed when we came to Cape Town. I guess it is a problem in big cities, is that there's lots of isolation. Not only in people's lives, I think people are very isolated. I think it happens because there are different communities. There's lots of foreigners in Cape Town as well. So there's lots of communities and sub-communities. So there's lots of isolation. I remember, I can't remember who said this, but it's a quote that I've heard. I've shared it ad nauseum with people, but someone used to say that in Joburg there's nothing to do, and in Cape Town there's no one to talk to. it rings very true. I remember from our time in Joburg, I think it's a big difference. People are much less isolated there. People are much more likely to be invited into each other's lives, into each other's homes. Whereas in Cape Town and the Western Cape, I think in general, I think it's much more pronounced here, is people are very isolated. People don't generally, as a rule, invite people into their homes, into their lives. People would go to a coffee shop and be very shallow about their lives. It really struck me, and I think it was one of the difficult things for us as well here, is to experience that. In contrast, in the church, it was actually amazing how in the church we experienced that community. In the church, we experienced the inviting of people into our home, people inviting us into our homes, into their lives. So I think as a major theme for me, that is my hope, is that integration will happen, that supernaturally people will be Christians will be invited into people's lives, people that do not know the Lord, and that we will invite people into our homes that do not know the Lord. I mean, that we will even invite people off the street into our homes, that we may even be so bold as to do that. I know, obviously, it's incredibly difficult and there's lots of things to consider. So specifically the isolation, I think I've also experienced it a little bit in church, not so much. But there is always the danger that the prevailing culture seeps into the church, and it's an easy fallback for us to be isolated, to be shallow. But I want to challenge us to be countercultural, to really be vulnerable in front of each other, to invite people into our lives, into our spaces, no matter how small in Cape Town, no matter how small your space is, but to invite people in and to just share how we live. Share our lives with each other. I think that's all I want to say.
Amen. You're beautiful and exciting to hear. And obviously, we're just a few years, and it would have been great to hear all, what God is doing in everyone's lives here. I think I realized lately I use the word I think a lot, and I know it's my personality type, so I'll be working on that. But Cape Town, Cape of Good Hope, and I feel there's a redemption that God also wants to do in restoring Cape Town as the Cape of Good Hope, the place from where the good news would spread Africa and the rest of the world, and obviously to the rest of Cape Town. And that is my hope, that Cape Town would walk out or come to the reality of its identity that is called to be that Cape of Good Hope, where a long time ago it was the place where trade routes went through. Those trade routes would be places where mission teams goes out to unreached people groups, and that we would be able to play a role in that, like Peter also shared now, where people don't find belonging, but a home in the city, where even in the midst of being in a busy city, it would be a place of belonging in this community that is Christ-focused and Christ-centered. So that's where I'll leave it there for us this morning. And if I can ask a worship band to maybe come up as we close, and maybe it would be great idea to discuss these questions among yourselves or in your small groups this week. What is the principles of change that God is taught you or that you've experienced, what is God doing in the season in your life, and what is your hope for Cape Town? Those are the three things that we discussed this morning. I'll just, so we go in and we can switch off the lights. Father, we come and thank you just for the privilege of being part of this community, that it's not by power nor by might, Father, of seeing the gifts at display, the heart's desires to reach the nations in different ways, Father, and that we can be part of it. And just for each one present here, Father, thank you just for that, like Psalm 139 says, that you've fearfully and beautifully made us, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord, that we might be restored in surrendering to you and running back to you, so that we might find that purpose that our heart is longing for, to be partnering with our Father in heaven. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.